Part 1. Heartland. 1. Corn off the cob. John Weber, 63, climbs into the driver's seat of his $250,000 tractor, 10 feet up from good Iowa dirt, and surveys the fields before him. He is happy and prosperous, and what he sees has made America happy and prosperous, too. In the beginning of that summer in 2011, the economic future for agriculture looked so bright that some Iowa farmers bought and plowed up golf courses. Others moved old homesteads to turn house lots into productive fields. Still others put acreage that had been set aside for conservation back into production once their Conservation Reserve Program, CRP, contracts were up. Hilly land, marginal land, and conservation land were all put to use to plant more corn and soy. But by mid-July, a record-setting 21 straight days of temperatures over 90 degrees had dried out the soil. Weber had started the season with adequate moisture in the ground, what Iowa farmers call a full tank. Other farmers were not so lucky. Any areas that didn't have rain or good subsoil wilted down to paper. "Here we were fortunate to get rain," he told us, "and the subsoil was good. We're kind of taking a beating on beans. They are starting to turn. They are dropping their leaves too rapidly. We had high hopes for Hurricane Isaac, but only southeast Iowa got any of it. And the soybeans were like beads of glass, hard as bone, dust everywhere." A pinpoint wind event swept across the six counties surrounding Weber's farm the day before our first visit in August. Gusts were clocked at 129 miles per hour and were sustained for 28 minutes. Weber lost 10 grain bins. 100-year-old oaks blew down. Weber, president of the National Pork Producers Council, was away at a meeting of hog farmers in the Wisconsin Dells. At 4 in the morning, his wife, Kathy, called. "You better get back here," she said. He drove 6 hours straight, but by the time he arrived, his son Brian and hired hands had already started to clean up, beginning to put 40 years of work back together in 3 months. Friends and neighbors shared equipment and cleaned the debris, Weber recalled. The soybeans were low enough to the ground not to be hurt, and most of the corn was okay too, though twisted. "It'll be heck to drive the harvester through, but we'll get most of it," Weber predicted. On our first walk around Weber's farm, we passed through the barn. The machines were new and gigantic and had been purchased outright. Tires on the spreaders were taller than we were, so the machines could slide along above the tassels. Adjustable booms could be attached to extend as far as 60 feet on both sides. The spreader, the tiling machine, and the harvester are all guided by global positioning. That is, they are driven from space. In the government-regulated world of American production agriculture, there are winners and losers, and John Weber is a winner. A fourth-generation Iowa farmer who lost a farm during President Jimmy Carter's agricultural boycott of the Soviet Union, he recalls that the loss taught him to never forget that this is a high-risk business and the point is to reduce risk. This year's drought-damaged harvest was even more valuable than the full harvest the year before. From May to October, the price of corn nearly doubled, reaching a futures price of $8.20 a bushel before settling lower. With Brian and Kathy, his wife of 45 years, John Weber raises corn and soy on their 2,500 acres. He owns or leases several other Iowa farms as well. The family contracts to grow approximately 750 acres of seed corn, which is raised for the Pioneer Seed Company next door. Brian Weber is Pioneer's regional seed representative. This seed corn is mostly GMO, indicating that it's a genetically modified organism, with multiple hybridized traits that allow it to be used in concert with Roundup herbicide, which is applied to the tops of the plant. Other GMO seeds, according to Weber, work to kill rootworms or help the plant to resist drought or simply produce a higher yield. The Webers